You know and love the Scrubble Stars at the Town Center, Fleming Island, and Atlantic Beach. Now get ready for 4 new locations scrubbing soon this year, featuring Kernan, San Jose, Racetrack Road, and Oakleaf. Scrubbles, trust the bow tie. You'll know quality once you arrive.
They are not ready for primetime.
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 Primetime, that's the name.
Primetime.
Primetime.
What time is it? Showtime primetime.
It's XL Primetime.
They're a bunch of PTPers here, baby. Primetime performers.
Featuring Joe C.
Being prepared, and then there's also execution.
Hacker.
You see the glass half empty?
Matt Hayes.
Man, this is crazy.
And Leon Searcy.
Confrontation is good. It's out of love.
And a very good Thursday afternoon to you, Jacksonville, live from the Baker Sports High School Media Day here at TIAA Bank Field. It is XL Primetime with former Jacksonville Jaguar Pro Bowl offensive tackle Leon Searcy and national college football writer Matt Hayes, the hacker Ryan Green with you. Gentlemen, it is football season. We've been to NFL training camp. Colleges are opening up. And to me, this is the start of the high school football season. Leon, as we're here again for the 14th annual Baker Sports High School Media Day.
I was just talking to you about this off the air. You know, 35 years ago, Hack, you know where I was? Not here, though, because we have a media day big as this right now. We were lucky to get in the newspaper back when I was playing. But this is exciting. I love this opportunity these kids get to come and talk in front of the national media and get some exposure.
Matt, it is a great day.
Here's the best part about it is some of these kids will move on to college. They're going to have to deal with the media then. This is a great opportunity then for start out and to realize what they're getting into, what they have to do. You know, follow your coach's idea, you know, go there and say this, say that, and, you know, be honest. And it's great. It's perfect exposure for them at the right time.
You're going to hear from head coaches and players today here on XL Primetime, and we'll kick it off right now going over to Clay County as we welcome in Kyle Kennard, the head coach of the Clay Blue Devils, live here at High School Media Day. Coach, how are we doing?
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me, man. It's so much fun seeing all these kids and these players, man. And these coaches come together, and it's such a great event, and we really appreciate Baker for the invite.
Year two for you on the job there at Clay High School. Clay was on some downtimes. You took the job last year, and, brother, you took it and ran with it. You guys were clearly, and let's be honest, you were one of the surprises, at least to many, as to your win-loss record. Very impressive. How did you accomplish so much in year number one?
You know, we just had a really good bunch of kids, and I have a really good staff that came along, and both of my coordinators in place, and we had a lot of talent. And we talked about this last year. We just had to figure out, you know, the best scheme to put those kids in, and to have some belief, and to know that they can win games and they can be successful. So we were able to turn it around pretty quickly. With the belief system that they put in me and our staff, and we just kind of ran with it, and the schedule kind of set up for us. It was kind of a down year with COVID, as far as we weren't able to play Fleming Island because the week one was canceled, and it just kind of set up for us to be successful.
Now, Coach, with all the success that you had last year,
sure,
is there any pressure on the coaching staff and the team to kind of repeat this year?
I try to put all that pressure on me and take that all away from the kids so they can just go out and play and perform. You know, we've been talking about it all summer. Nobody really cares what you did last year anymore. This is a new year. This is a new team. We've got kids that graduated. We've got new kids in new positions. And so we can't really live in the past. We've got to continue to move forward. We live in a society now where nobody really cares what you did in the past. It's all about what have you done for me now. And so we've been trying to instill that into our kids to, you know, not worry about last year. I'll take all the pressure. You guys just go out and do what we ask you to do and perform.
So, Kyle, last year, a difficult year for everyone. I know a lot of coaches on every level talk about chemistry with the team.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to have that chemistry when you were basically playing and then going home and everybody's apart and you're no longer doing things together because you were forced to?
Yeah.
And how much easier will it be this year, your job, when you have that chemistry?
Yeah, it's already been a whole lot easier than it was last year. They had all these stipulations put into place where we could only have a certain amount of kids in the weight room. You can't only have a certain amount of kids in the meeting room. And so you're trying to move that all around logistically and still have to form a team and chemistry. The good thing about our kids is that we're kind of a small community, and so they're all friends. They've all grown up together. They've all been to the They've all played together as youngsters, and then they grew up together. So it wasn't really difficult to have to put the chemistry together because there are a lot of our kids already had that.
Right.
We just had to, like I said earlier, just put some belief system in them and install our stuff. And we've got some good players. I mean, we have an all-state running back, and who will be here. He'll be back as a senior, and we return three offensive linemen. We've got both of our receivers back. We've got to plug some holes on defense, but, we've got the talent.
Final moments here with Kyle Kennard, the head coach of the Clay Blue Devils. Coach, Clay County's no joke between you guys and Oakleaf and Fleming Island, Orange Park coming back. I mean, there is
brutal.
Good football
sure.
being played in Clay County.
Yeah, there's seven high schools in Clay County, and every single one of them is very competitive. Middleburg's got a new staff. There's a lot of buzz going on in that program. Fleming's always good. Oakleaf's always got talent. Coach Mack does a really good job with Orange Park down the street. So, people don't really know a whole lot about Clay County. But it's a juggernaut. We play those teams. It's really our district schedule and then the county schools that we play. It's a war every single Friday.
Well, Coach, I know we talked to you a lot under the Friday Night Lights next year.
Let's
or
keep
last
that
year.
Going.
And I have no doubt we'll continue that here in 2021. Best of luck, my friend.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to it. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Kyle
Kyle
Kennard of Clay here with us as we kick off High School Media Day. We're about to welcome in Christian Ellis of Ed White, who's currently committed to Coastal Carolina. He'll be coming up in just a moment. But, Matt, one of the great things I love about this day is to see all these kids walking in and just the look on their faces when they see all the cameras and the microphones and the exposure. It's a cool, cool deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, I think it's a situation where, it's not just the exposure for these kids, but it's the idea of, look, this is what could be in 4 or 5 or 6 years. And Leon, you could speak to this as well. Mm-hmm. When you're in high school, you certainly want to play college ball, but the dream is getting to the big stage, getting to the NFL.
All right, man, listen, it doesn't hurt that this is done at TIA Bank Stadium
right.
as well. You walk outside, you see the big jumbotron, you see the football field. A lot of these kids, their dreams are, aspirations are to get to the NFL, and their high school kids having their media day right in the Jaguar Stadium.
Let's bring in what I think is a very unique man, a very unique story coming into 2021, and that's a defending state champion. That's Christian Ellis here with us. In fact, Christian, your father and I do the high school podcast here on 1010XL.com, formerly of Trinity Christian, now with Ed White. For starters, welcome in. Welcome to Media Day. How's the experience been for you?
I appreciate that. Man, it's been a surreal experience just being able to be here, just meet all the players, just be able to talk, and just get ready for the season.
Looks a little odd seeing you in an Ed White jersey, so we'll talk about that in a moment. But you were a very important part of a Trinity Christian team that won a state championship a year ago. You played on both sides of the ball. And I would go as far as to say they don't win a couple of those playoff games without some of the performances you did last year. Talk about that run for Trinity last year and winning that state championship.
Oh, man, last year was a great year, man. As you mentioned, we won the state championship last year. So for us, that was just big. I mean, obviously, the whole team as a whole, like all us, just pieces coming together, key pieces, me, Marcus, Bertrand Webb, Corey Coley, just all the players that we have just being able to just come together and just mix and just do what we did last year. So what I just got to do is just take what I learned over there, just bring it over here to Ed White with me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Now, you won a state championship with Trinity Christian last year, and you're going to Ed White. Now, your expectations for winning is a lot higher now. So what do you think you're going to bring to that locker room and keeping those guys accountable to playing to the standards that you once played for at Trinity Christian?
What I'm bringing to Ed White is I'm bringing a championship mindset. Mm-hmm. I'm be a leader. So I'm bringing in with them what I learned at Trinity. Just being on the state championship team, I know what it takes. So I'm going to have to bring my leadership and some of the stuff we did over there, I'm going to have to bring over here. I mean, over here at Ed White, the cats over there, they're hungry. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like we could do it. I mean, we got some great players, and I feel like we could do it.
So that means if you got to call somebody out, you're going to call them out. If they're not playing to your standards of what you're used to playing with, you have the right to call them out because you know what it means. You know what it takes to be a champion.
Yeah, say, listen, I've been there. Here's how
exactly.
you get there.
I feel like Sirs is calling you out right now.
No, I'm not calling him. I'm just saying he has that right to call anybody up that don't play to his standards because he's a champion.
Yeah, it's true, yes, sir. Yeah, nah. I've been here for a minute, so, I mean, like I said, they're over here, they're hungry. So, I mean, over here they want to be great and coming over, they see our state champion. That's something that they want too. So they're willing to work and listen. So,
Awesome.
So, Christian, you are already committed to Coastal Carolina, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what do you do individually and as a teammate over in this season to strengthen yourself and get ready for that next step?
Just take it one day at a time. Just keep working. We're going to keep building my relationship with Coach Stags, Coach Wilson. Just build myself physically, mentally. So, just like I say, just play ball, really.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Will you stay in contact with the coaches at Coastal Carolina as well?
Yes, I talk to them every day. Me and Coach Wilson, we have a great relationship. That's my dog. He hits me up, checks on me every day. I hit him up. So the relationship has gotten stronger from what it was, but it's real strong now.
Final moments here with Christian Ellis, Ed White, formerly of Trinity Christian. He's on his way to Coastal Carolina. Christian, the million-dollar question, as much as you want to get into it, honestly, when you cover high school football, you see a guy at Trinity that wins a state championship, was a big part of a state championship, transfer out to a Duval County public school. I found that interesting. I think a lot of people found that interesting. What was your thought process in that?
I'm getting the question a lot, but it was really, for me, it was, I want to do something special for my mother. She's been battling cancer. So for her, I just wanted to. She actually went to Ed White. So I wanted to. What I wanted to do is I wanted to just give her something to remember and really cherish. So I felt like me coming over here, her seeing me in the Ed White colors, that would really mean something to her. So I want to come over here and try to bring a state championship to her alma mater, and I felt like that would be something special for her.
That is absolutely
good for you, man.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
You just—I mean, I was already a fan of yours. I'm about tenfold now. That is a great, great story. Good for you, man. That is awesome.
You.
Well, best of luck here in 2021. I know your dad and I are going to start the prep podcast back on 1010XL.com in the near future. We will certainly be watching, Christian.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Christian right. Ellis of Ed White. Matt, I mean,
that's fantastic.
What
man.
A story, man.
That's rare. Rare, and rare is rare, people. You, there's not much of that around. That's you know, you expect a different reason or a different story. And the story that comes just blows you away. And that's fantastic. That's a unique dude who's going to win not only on the field but off it.
Leon, your reaction to that young man there?
Unselfish. I mean, just total sacrifice, doing it for his mom. I mean, a class act. I mean, like you said, not only did he have success on the field, but that kid's going to have a lot of success off.
Yeah, he's going to win in life, that kid.
Yeah, Christian Ellis, that is unreal. And, again, Andre Ellis does a great job with Duval Sports. .com and the prep podcast will be starting up in the next couple of weeks again on 1010XL.com. More high school coaches, high school players as we're welcoming in Coach Robert Shields of Baldwin. After an undefeated regular season last year, Coach Shields joins us here at the high school media day. Coach, how are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Coach, we are good and undefeated last year. Now, unfortunately, the way things turned out with the playoff system the way it was, an undefeated season meant you ran into Trinity Christian in the first round. I don't think that's very fair, but it's the way things happen. But what do you take away from that undefeated campaign last year? You guys were very, very good out there at Baldwin.
It's nice and all, but the reality is you want to make a run in the playoffs. So you lost 20 seniors, got a bunch of young guys coming back, had a pretty good all season, been working hard. And, you know, the expectations to go out there and bust your butt, compete, and then take the next step.
You know, and about that next step, you've been to the pinnacle in the regular season. You can't do any better than undefeated. That's what you guys did. I imagine that next step is success in the postseason, success in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what we want. You know, we're going to take care of the regular season, obviously. You don't take care of that first, you don't get to the postseason. So we're working hard, and, you know, the expectation is to get there and continue.
Your kids realize the next step is typically or probably going to be Trinity. So –
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. You're at your different districts now. All right.
We get
so
bowls.
Even,
I mean,
better then.
Look,
even better.
Look, you're going to play somebody. At
right.
The end
at
of the
some
day,
point, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
You take care of business in the regular season. You play the best of the best, and that's what you want.
Right.
It's, you know, every coach wants a game, maybe one a homecoming game where it's all right, it's 35-0 at halftime, and we're out of there early. But the reality is there's no fun in playing teams you don't have that don't have a chance to beat
right.
you. You want to compete.
Right. The end part of that question was – how do you convince these guys that very thing? Look, at some point, you're going to have to beat the best if you want to get the whole way.
There's no convincing. They know the deal.
Yeah.
You don't get good by just being average. I tell them average sucks.
Yeah.
There's 100,000 average people out there.
That's true.
And you're living an average life, doing average things. And if the average isn't what you want, go somewhere else. Because I don't want average. You know, work for it.
You know, and to that point, again, we get to talk to a lot of high school coaches under the Friday Night Lights. What I love about Coach Shields is when we have you on Friday night, A, you're always fired up because you're usually coming off a win. But you will tell it like it is. You don't sugarcoat very much. And, in fact, you'll talk about the next opponent you're playing and you're not going to back down from anybody. I mean, I like the openness. You're not about coach speak. You're gonna tell us how you feel.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, all that stuff, why waste your time and energy on it? It is what it is. You know what you got to do. Do it. It's not a secret.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Coach, I was told by a couple of Hall of Fame coaches that you may play games on Sunday, but you win games in the offseason. How has your offseason been thus far? And are you satisfied with what your players have brought to the table?
I'm extremely satisfied. We went from 8 to 11 every day, hour of straight running, hour of lifting, hour of field work. We've, you know, averaged 40 guys every day at practice. You know, we keep in mind we're a school with 650 kids in the high school. Mm-hmm. So we're not a, you know, we're a, quote, 4A now because of the COVID numbers, which is, that's a total different topic about cooking the books. You look at some of these classifications, some of these schools. It's like, all right. You know, when you're a one county school and you can do what you want to do, and just look at the 1A and just, it'll make you scratch your head, or 2A or 3A or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got 40 guys out there. They're all in. Look, we're going to go both ways. The reason we run in condition 4 hours, we're going to have to play both ways. They know it. We know it. We might struggle the first half some, but the thing is, we're going to keep coming at you 4 quarters. And so, you know, we're not going to win them all.
Mm-hmm.
But if any game we play, you're going to be in a fight. We're going to know that.
Robert, how many guys you got going both ways?
Probably going to have about 4 guys this year, 4 or 5.
Interior line guys or skill guys?
Both.
Wow.
Mm. Both. I got my receiver. He's going to play D-end. Well, the receiver played D end. You know, they're both 6'3", 6'4 kids. We'll rotate them in. Offensive line, hey, we get down inside the 20. Guess what? You're going to have to tap that guy out. We're going to have to go play some D-line now.
Right, right.
It's the reality of it.
Iron Man football at its finest. A couple more for Coach Shields of Baldwin. You got a pretty nice coaching staff with you this year as well, including a couple, a guy with college experience and NFL experience.
Oh, yeah. Got Scott Boogie Allen to come over, and it's the first time I've ever been able to be the, quote, head coach where I'm not coaching position or coordinating,
right.
Which, honestly, I like, but I'm still getting in there and coaching the guys because that's what I do. I'm a coach. You know, I enjoy teaching. You know, I enjoy competing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is lovely to have guys that know everything and can have the answer and help hold the kids accountable because that's what it is, you know, teaching young men how to be accountable, take responsibility, because the reality is, I think I've been 18 years, I've got one guy that's played on Sundays, and the reality is by 25, you're done, you've got to be a man. And winning's great, but the most important thing is building the men, teaching them character, discipline, that kind of thing.
On the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures, Coach, we got a guy chiming in. This coach needs to run for office. So apparently people out there like the message that you're sending.
I want no part of politics. Y'all can have that. I'm a simple man.
Coach Shields of Baldwin, you're one of our favorites. We'll be talking to you a lot under the Friday Night Lights. Best of luck this season.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks, nice seeing y'all.
Thank you very much. Robert Shields of Baldwin. And there we go. High School Media Day off and running here at TIA Bank Field, the Terrace Suites, as we had over 60 high schools that were here today in some fashion, players, coaches. Some are still lingering around. Others have already gone back to school, Leon, because they're on the field. They're practicing. We have kickoff classics 2 weeks from tomorrow night, and opening night in the state of Florida is August the 27th, 3 weeks until the regular season kicks off.
It was funny what Coach Shields was talking about, the conditioning part. I just had flashbacks. I was 16 years old again, where the coach wake you up at 6 in the morning, you're in the stadiums, you're running stations, you're doing crabs. I mean, just ridiculous stuff that you did back in
the
high
crabs.
School. Oh, man. But it got you ready, though. It got you ready for the season.
They're not doing crabs now.
No, they don't.
Got to be a little more lenient today's day and age.
Oh, a little bit more lenient.
A little bit more lenient.
Okay.
But, you know, Matt, I think, you know, we all played high school sports. We all cover football. There's the purity of high school football. I was talking to Kevin Mays of Baker County earlier on here today, and he talked about the town shutting down on Friday night, that you hear about Texas Friday Night Lights. Well, Baker County's kind of got the same thing. Everybody shuts down. They go to the stadium. They tailgate. That's what I love about high school football. You're seeing great environments. We have great environments at Bishop Kenny, at Bowles, at Fletcher, Mandarin, all of these great atmospheres on Friday nights. And you're looking at these kids that are in here today that are going to be performing. I remember when Derrick Henry was in here. I remember when, just name the best of the best that have gone through. Marcus Burke was in this building last year. He caught a state touchdown in the state title game. He's now a freshman at Florida. We are looking at guys right now that we will be looking at for years to come on Saturday afternoons.
Yeah, it's, how much is a game now? Like $8 to go to a game now?
If that.
If that, right. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing. It's two hours of your night, 2.5 hours of a night. Go see one of these games. It's phenomenal. It's everything you remember from high school, the pageantry, the emotion, the anticipation. It's all still there, all of it. And if you're lucky and you get to a game that's an important game and the crowd's full, and it's phenomenal. I tell everybody all the time, the year I spent two and a half years covering high school football for the TU, it was some of the funnest times I've ever had in my job. It's phenomenal being there, being in that situation, and seeing these kids. They live and die on every play, man.
And Leon, you have a unique perspective. You're an 11-year NFL player, a Miami Hall of Famer, 3-time national champion. But you only played 1 year of high school football. And in that 1 year, you showed out enough, obviously, to get a scholarship at Miami. What are your biggest takeaways from 1 year of high school ball down
in
Orlando?
Well, my biggest takeaways from my 1 year of high school football is my high school coach, Bill Gerke. I was just sitting here listening to Coach Shields, and he reminds me a lot of Coach Gerke. Kind of straightforward, doesn't cut to the chase. I mean, he's like a stiff drink, no chaser, all right? He tells us like it is, all right? And my high school coach knew that I only played 1 year of high school football, and he made it mandatory for me to go to summer school. And in summer school, that's where I ran the stations. I did the bear crawls. I had a 3.75 grade point average now. Back in those days, you had to go to summer school because you didn't have the grades. But my high school coach made me to go to summer school, 8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock, and I trained from Monday to Friday. Now, Fridays was off. Monday to Thursday, every day. I mean, I'm on the field, I'm pulling, I'm trapping, I'm running stadiums, I'm in the weight room, I'm lifting, I grind. So by the time the season started, I was a brick house.
When was the last time you talked to Gerke?
I haven't talked to Gerke in about 5 years, bro. He's a head coach, believe it or not. Of course he's a head coach somewhere.
Right.
At some Orlando Christian school. Some
I think
Orlando
it's Orangewood Christian, isn't Orange, it?
I think it's Orangewood Christian, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go by and surprise
him. I can't tell you who my English teacher was at UNF. I can't tell you who my math teacher was at FCCJ, but I can tell you right now about Coach Seymour and Coach Maribel at Wolfson High School. You know, it's just
it was important.
Your high school coaches, man alive. It's just, I haven't seen those guys in 20 years. Actually, that's not true. I saw Maribel probably about 5 years ago, but you remember the guys that have an impact on you, like your high school football coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Plus, that was important to you. That was important. Not to say that your English class wasn't important
to you. My ENC 1101 at UNF wasn't important
your,
to
your
me.
Your English class was just no step to get your degree, but that had a lasting impact on you. That's the way it is with all these young guys.
Oh, that's good stuff. That is Leon Searcy. He is Matt Hayes. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. It's the Baker Sports 2021 High School Football Media Day, and we are glad you are with us. More high school coaches to come. We'll also shift gears to the NFL as well. Is Deshaun Watson on his way to Philadelphia? Are you kidding me? The rumors picking up that Deshaun Watson may be dealt to the Philadelphia Eagles. We will certainly see how that plays out. Jaguars off day today, back on the field tomorrow, and the scrimmage coming up right here behind us at the stadium on Sunday. So we got a lot to do, Jacksonville. We are glad you are with us. It is a Thursday edition of XL Primetime right here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010 XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
With former Jaguar Pro Bowl offensive tackle Leon Searcy and national college football writer Matt Hayes, the Hacker Ryan Green with you. Joe C. off today, back on Monday as we're live from the Baker Sports High School Media Day. Marlon White, the head coach of Rebalt, will be joining us in just a little bit. So, guys, before we get back to a more high school talk, we got to get into this Deshaun Watson situation. Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports, like, at midnight last night or something. I saw he tweeted it out about 1 a.m. even. Said that his sources were telling him from CBS Sports that Philadelphia and Houston are really starting to heat things up in negotiations for Deshaun Watson. We will see now. I thought it was odd yesterday, Leon, that Deshaun Watson was not on the field during Texan practice. Remember, he had been the previous 4 or 5 days. But your reaction that there is certainly dialogue, it appears, between Philadelphia and Houston. And if he were to get dealt to Philadelphia, I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, I think Philadelphia has probably done their due diligence with his case, and they kind of figured that, you know, we'll take the blunt of the hit for a minute, but to have a dynamic player like that on your team and you can carry his contract because you dumped Carson Wentz and he's in Indianapolis, you can pick up his contract. And that means that Jalen Hurts right now in their assessment over the last couple of weeks in training camp may not just be the guy. I mean, listen, there's no comparison between Deshaun Watson and Jalen Hurts now. It's like night and day. And if you can get Deshaun Watson in Philadelphia with his contract, whatever happens as far as suspensions go, you deal with it. This means this organization had to have found out that the suspensions are not going to be so severe where he won't play football, where he can play on the team in some capacity.
Well, just to be clear, too, when the report said the talks were heating up, the dispute, there have been people disputing the, quote, heating up, but they're not disputing that there has been dialogue between Philadelphia and between Houston, which is certainly interesting, Matt, if Deshaun Watson were to get dealt out of the AFC, which would be great for the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. Not buying it at all, actually. I can't see how any organization is going to be willing to take on Deshaun Watson without all that stuff completely through the system, be it civil, be it criminal, be it a negotiation where you come up and you're going to pay them X amount of money, whatever it is. I refuse to believe there's going to be a franchise that will take on that baggage, not knowing what could be. Well, and to Leon's point, you're doing your due diligence. I don't know how it comes back where you're saying, yeah, everything's good.
Well, and to that point too, Leon, I wonder what this does to the psyche of Jalen Hurts, knowing that Philadelphia might be talking to other quarterbacks.
Well, hey, just get over it. You just got to get over it.
Or compete.
Listen, you got an issue, get some tissue. Yeah, this is football. That's what the bottom line is. And with the Deshaun Watson thing, they're not going to hear out everything until January of 2022.
Yeah.
He's just going to sit on
the
bench?
Well, I mean, I don't see a franchise doing that. I just don't. That's a big, big thing to take on. When quite frankly, what if it goes criminally, not just civilly? And then something happens, and he's not even your quarterback. He can't play then. There's too much out there to be just doing that right now, I think. Anyway, just my opinion.
More on the National Football League coming up in just a moment. We are here at the Baker Sports 2021 High School Football Media Day at TIAA Bank Field. Rebalt Trojans are here. That means head coach Marlon White of Rebalt joins us here on 1010XL. Coach, how we doing?
So far, so good. Enjoying offseason.
Hey, Coach, I bet. And you know, to that point, now we're hitting a little bit of a speed bump now, it appears, with this COVID situation. But I would still think August 2020, August 2021, it's night and day for you as a high school football coach from where we were 12 months ago.
It is. Last year, this time, we were doing Zoom meetings. It was, I think it's August now, so we're slowly getting back to the field, 6 feet apart, understanding how to play the game differently. What it did last year was it gave us coaches a chance to coach differently and understand different things that we had to do. So it benefited us because we had to be creative in what we were doing. We took some of those things we did last year, implemented them in this offseason, and it's benefited a whole lot. And now, like I said, speedballing, walking back into maybe the same thing right now, we have to be smart about what we're doing.
Now, Coach, let me ask you a question, because I know coaches, they like to be hands-on everything when it comes to players in the weight room, on the field, in the film room and all that kind of stuff. So last year was different.
That's right.
You couldn't be hands-on with all the guys essentially at the different locations that you're usually going to be at. So how did your leadership of your teammates depend? How was the leadership on your team where you knew guys were going to do the right things and you weren't going to be there?
So we had to always lead by example. And we did a great job of our coaches last year. Mm-hmm. They made sure that things stayed in line because the big thing was safety. And it wasn't safety for us at the time because – as young guys, you're kind of reckless. You don't understand what's going on, and it's important that if I get it, my grandma get it, and it affects her more. So that was the point last year. It might not affect you the same, but when you take it home, you could affect someone else in your family. So we wanted to make sure that once they kind of understood that, they were very well, look, 6 feet apart, we're good. Bags, we're wiping down, we're spraying them down, we're good. Weight room, we're spraying down, we're good. Because the whole thing was maintaining the safety of everyone. And blessing was we only had two guys that caught COVID last year, and both of them were in separate incidents where they went on vacation and came back, but it wasn't team detrimental at any time.
Wow. Coach, let's go back to the field real quick. College football and the NFL, the game, the offensive game, is clearly going vertical in the passing game.
Correct.
Do you see that in high school ball now, or are you guys trending that way, or have you already gotten there?
I would say I thought it would be more of a vertical passing game here in Florida when I got here, but it's not. The teams we play are run-based. We play Creekside week one. They're power, trap, counter. Week two, Trinity. Trinity's a little more spread. West Side is going back to the I formation. So we're talking 21 personnel.
Right.
So they're doing things a bit differently to try to shorten the games up and still have those vertical concepts. But everybody right now is basing their games. We got to run the ball well. Same thing for us. We're a spread team, but we want to make sure we run the ball well and stop the run on defense. But we also know there's times we got to take those shots, and we're looking forward to those. But we don't see as many as open spread. We didn't see an open, really spread game until we played Rickards last year.
Does personnel dictate that too? Like if you don't have a quarterback that can do that stuff,
it does.
It's more difficult.
It does. And last year I was a double wing guy coming down. So coming to Florida, I had to realize it wasn't about me. So we had spread guys. We had a pretty good quarterback last year in Santana Jackson who could throw it out there a little bit. So we had to open it back up. This year we have a younger quarterback. Got to protect him. We're going to run the ball a little more to make sure his passing lane is open and give some confidence early. A
couple more from Marlon White, the head coach of Rebald here with us on XL Primetime. One of the things I like about you is you have completely embraced social media. I mean, you will get on Twitter, and you will make it happen. And
yes,
there's
sir.
A lot of high school coaches that don't do that. What is that? What goes into that line of thinking for you?
It's culture change. That's where everybody's at. And if you realize that it's still player-based, and if your kids are on social media, they're going to promote it. If we're still doing emails and the kids are never on email, your information is never going to get out there. And the more you can keep the kids involved, the more parents will be involved, you can still build that community network to where people feel like you're a part of what they're doing. And I have no problem, which is a gift and a curse, parents, our community, they will walk up to me at any point in time, hey, coach, what's going on? And that's fine with me because I want them to feel that we are family, because at the end of the year, we need you, you need us, and we're going to make things happen. But social media is a big part of what we do.
Now, coach, let me ask you a question. How do you deal with your team giving locker room material? Because, you know, back in the day, you know, if you got a team that you're playing that week and you come in there, I know you're big on social media.
Correct.
And a lot of these kids go back and forth about how they're going to play and this, this, and that. How you deal with those players right there as far as locker room material goes?
They don't.
So
our kids are very they're very calculated in what they say. And what I told them that you never want to give somebody else a reason. So be smart with what you say, because once you post something, once you say it, you can't take it back. So be real calculated. Treat every question like an interview. So when somebody asks you a question, think about it, and then respond. We did a good job this year with having our kids have media training. So we sat them down. Here's a bunch of different questions. Here you are on camera. How do you respond? What do you say?
Now, what if your running back says, I'm going for 200 and runs for 200? You good with that?
I'm good with that. If he says it and backs it up, but like I said, remember, somebody over there is trying to stop you getting that 200.
Right. You're right.
So, but they do really, they're really smart about the things they say. We had one social media incident early in the season with Jackson prior to the spring game and was like, look, it's not worth it. Go on Friday night. Let your game speak. And you can go from there.
So when you arrived in Jacksonville, I'm sure you heard about the Reigns game.
I got booed.
But did it really come into focus once you were in that game and that game week and the whole environment?
From what I heard is that I had the watered down version because it was still COVID. They didn't have the parades. They didn't have all the events.
Right.
So I got a really dry down version, which I accepted last year. Now, the results of the game, nothing like we wanted.
Right.
But this year, they've already we've already had meetings. It's like, coach, this is going to happen. You need to be here. Players need to be here. So we're getting it early in the season, but I think we'll be ready for that storm when it happens.
Good.
You know, as we wrap up, coach, not only Reigns Rebald, but you're also in the Bolt City Showcase.
Yes, sir.
To start the year. That'll
yes,
be
sir.
Broadcast locally on television. I know we'll have a presence there. I believe Donna Murphy doing sidelines for that game, our own from 1010XL. So what does that mean to your program, to you, your players, to be able to showcase yourself in the Bold City Showcase? Because I got to tell you, The first year they did that in 2019 mm-hmm. was a great event. I imagine the same thing will be happening this
correct.
Year.
And I think our kids, they're embracing it. And it's a great opportunity for our young man. The one advantage that we have, the Northwest Classic, is broadcast every year. So they're used to that one big game at the end of the year. It's a little bit earlier in the year, but they're prepared. We got a lot of film on Creekside. I mean, that once again, that's our focus, 1-0. And we don't look past that. We don't look past that game. The game is everything we can get on Creekside to what they've done, coaching changes, player personnel changes. We try to make sure we're as prepared as possible. The fact that it's on local television gives them an incentive. They're like, look, everything you've been learning thus far, go out there, put it on the field, and leave it all out there on that Saturday.
Well, Coach, best of luck. We'll be watching, and I know we'll have you on many times on the Friday Night Lights postgame show this year.
That's the goal.
Marlon White of Reball. Yes, thank you, Coach.
Thank you,
Marlon.
And what Marlon said was interesting, Leon, media training for high school football players. I mean, could you ever imagine when you were at Orlando and playing high school ball that you would need media training? But he's right. In today's day and age of the 24-hour news cycle, maybe we see it here today at Media Day. A ton of outlets interviewing these kids.
Well, I mean, there's a big difference between when I play ball because, you know, when I play ball, you know, we had one media outlet, really. We had the Orlando Sentinel. All right, and then you looked after the game, you looked and slicked, you read the little article to see if they said, you know, good block by Cersei or whatever like that. So that was the only outlet we had back at high school. These kids got now, they got 24-hour media, you know, media circle right there that goes on and on and on. So it's very important that the coach was talking about, listen, you know, before you press send, make sure that what you're putting out on that you can live with, your parents can live with, you know, the team can live with. So that's good on his part. You know, they're media savvy.
You know, it's funny. He's saying that for 17-year-old, 16, 17-year-old players. That's good for, like, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old people. Before you push send,
yes.
Make sure what you're putting out there, you know that people, like, you know, that are close to you are going to say, wait, what are you doing?
Exactly.
And the fact that you do have broadcast games on television – or like we do on 1010XL on the radio. We've had Bishop Kenny on for years. We've had Bowles on for years. The exposure that these kids get, it is an event on Friday night. It's on radio. It's on television. And you didn't see that in high school football really until the last, say, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, but it's great that these kids, like Matt was talking about earlier, it's good that these kids have this cycle of media so they know how to deal with radio, how to deal with TV. And then when they go to the next level, they'll learn some more because when you get to the NFL level, I mean, you're going to be contractually obligated to deal with the media whether you like it or not. So you might as well be prepped in high school and college for it.
I mean, and let's be real about this, too. With NIL coming, mm-hmm. and soon enough, the Florida High School Athletic Association, they will not be able to stop these kids from making money on their name, image, and likeness. So you better learn how to deal with the media. You better learn how to strengthen your brand and put your brand in best position so you can benefit from that through the name, image, and likeness idea.
Yeah, because the name, image, and likeness, I mean, most of these corporations, when they deal with kids, yeah, they may be 4 or 5-star kids, but they want personality. I mean, you're going to be representing their product.
Of course.
You know, so they don't want you stumbling with words and can't say this or can't say that. Look, they want personality. They want savvy. They want sexy. They want swag.
You know, it's just interesting when I talk to a couple of young men today. By the way, I can't believe about 45 minutes into the show without putting this out there. So Jaheim Singletary was here earlier, arguably the number one cornerback in the country. He's a 5-star on almost every recruiting board. He was committed to Ohio State for the longest time. Decommitted last week. Mm. Jaheim Singletary, you know what he showed up in today? A Miami Hurricane wristband.
Oh.
A Miami Hurricane wristband for the 5-star defensive back from Riverside. He didn't commit. All right. I asked him, I said, are you throwing it out there? He said, no. But it was a message, certainly, that I would think Miami is the leader in the clubhouse. Hey. If they get a 5-star from Jacksonville, boy, Manny Diaz, Ed Reed, that coaching staff, they're putting something together down there.
We're getting it done, baby. That's what we're doing. We're getting it done.
Well, it would be a heck of a get.
Let's see if you can get it done on the field.
That'll happen.
It starts in recruiting, though. I mean,
absolutely.
That's the bottom line.
Yes.
It does start in recruiting. Earlier today, look, it's not high school football until I have the opportunity to catch up with the head coach of my alma mater, Coach B, Dennis Bettinger of the Wolfson Wolfpack. Wolfson was in attendance earlier today at Baker Sports 2021 High School Media Day. I had a chance to talk to Coach B. It's interesting times at Wolfson. They've gone through almost a school transformation. They're no longer essentially a Duval County public school in the sense where they're like a Paxson and a Stanton. You have to now qualify to get into Wolfson, and it's really changed a lot of what they can do there on the football field. It was a really interesting conversation. We'll bring it to you right now here on XL Primetime.
It is not football season until Coach B enters Media Day here at the 2021 High School Media Day. Dennis Bettinger of my alma mater, Wolfson High School. Coach, how we doing?
Oh, outstanding. It's great to be here.
Coach, always appreciate it. Year four for you on the job at the Wolf Den. You got to be very excited.
Oh, yes. I'm extremely excited. 4 years, it's gone by fast, real fast. But it's been great. Hey, when you're doing something you love, it goes by fast.
Clearly not the year you wanted last year. How do you use that, whether it's motivation, whatever verbiage you want to call it, to rebound here in 2021?
It's a great question, and everybody knew what went on. We're not using that as an excuse. We're not using that as a crutch. We're going to move on. We know what happened, and we're just moving on. And we know what it takes to get better, and we will be there this year.
How tough was the COVID season? Hopefully we're not going to have it, at least to the extent certainly that we had it last year. But now that it's hopefully in the rearview mirror, when you look back on it, how tough was that experience?
Extremely tough. I mean, we had guys just before the game, not making excuses, hour or two before the game, and then you got 10 people who are quarantined right before a game. And then when you have like 26 players and you got a couple injuries, and we had people back out because of COVID, which is understandable. Then we had five linemen going both ways. I mean, that's an excuse that no one wants to hear, but that's just the truth, and it was very tough on everybody.
You know, I've had this conversation with you many times, and I'm happy because it means you're the head coach for now several years. There was a time where Wolfson had 9 head coaches in 10 years. That's ridiculous. For whatever reasons there were, that's ridiculous. But you're now entering year four. Stability for those kids, for that program. They have a guy that they can now count on going into year number four. I would think that's huge for that program.
Oh, definitely, definitely. When I started, we had 17 players, 17. And then some of them didn't make grades, and we went all the way down. My first one was 6 players in the fall, 6. We built it up now to 65 players. Plus, it's the second year with the JV, so they see, like, the key, stability. They know I'm going to be there. They know what to expect. They know what's going on, and that's why they're showing up.
Dennis Bettinger of Wolfson. How tough has the transition been, not from a football standpoint, but Wolfson's a different school now than it was when you took the job? I mean, you think of Paxton and Stanton. Well, Wolfson's kind of one of those schools now. It's not your prototypical Duval County public school any longer. What challenges has that presented?
A lot, because not only you could have the greatest athlete right across the street, but if he can't qualify, he can't get in. Also, the emphasis on homework and work. I mean, it's a lot of work they have to go through each and every day. So it's just like almost coaching at Harvard or Yale, and that's what it is. And they know what they have to do. It's just time management. That's what they got to perfect on.
You say 65 players. That's awesome. That's great to hear. What about this 2021 Wolfpack team? What can people expect when the season kicks off here in a couple of weeks?
I'm telling you, we're going to 6-4 or better. I know I said that a couple years ago, but that is the truth. We had the spring, and we had a great summer, and that's what we need. We don't have a team that has a lot of D1 athletes that you can just roll the ball out there and play. We have to play as a unit and together, and we're ready to play.
There are a lot of Wolfson alums listening, a lot of Wolfson graduates here there on Powers Avenue. What sort of message do you have the alumni? They certainly would love to have the support of the alumni, I'm sure. What's your message to them moving forward?
Come out and keep supporting. We love you. We love the people that come out, and keep coming out. We'll be back. Wolfson will be back, I'm telling you.
Coach B, Dennis Bettinger of Wolfson High School. Thank you, Coach.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for all you do for high school sports.
And I told Bettinger when I had him on earlier, and I really mean it, that was ridiculous, the fact that they had 9 head coaches in 10 years. And there were all kinds of different reasons as to why that was. They had some head coaches that were there 4 weeks and then resigned or were asked to resign for numerous reasons. 9 coaches in 10 years. How can you build anything with that constant turnover at the head coach position? But now that he's entering year 4, he's starting to establish himself a little bit. I really like it for those kids, Leon, that they don't have the constant turnover anymore, and they have a guy they feel they can rely on moving forward.
Yeah, they need some stability. I mean, a coach that's going to be there for a while for their development. I mean, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. I mean, if you're getting rid of coaches every 4 weeks at a program, I mean, you can't develop the kids because you're not going to be able to spend that much time with them. So how does that feel, though, for you, being a former – alumnus?
Oh, I think he's doing a great job with what he has there. I mean, it's a tough job. There's no doubt about that. Even when I was there in the late 90s and early 2000s, we had 3 head coaches in 4 years. I had one. coach my freshman year, one head coach my sophomore and junior year, and a third head coach my senior year. I mean, there was just constant turnover at that position, Matt. But that's what I love about, like, Rodney DeBose at Westside High School, O.J. Small, the former Gator, now at Riverside High School. You're talking about guys that have been at Duval County Public Schools for a decade. You don't see that a whole lot, and luckily we're starting to see it a little bit more.
Yeah, this way, 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 way back when I first got the Times Union, there were guys like that, like Dan Dish, who coached at White, was a guy who grew up in the system. So there, we've seen it before in this area, but not. But I agree, dude. At this point, to this level, yeah, it's much more now.
He is Matt Hayes. That's Leon Searcy, and I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. Jacksonville, we're glad you're with us a Thursday afternoon, live from the Baker Sports High School Football Media Day down at TIAA Bank Field. Coming up next, more on the high school gridiron. We'll also shift gears, talk a little National Football League, a little college ball as well. By the way, I get it. It is what it is. We're on the Hall of Fame game tonight. The NFL preseason kicks off in Canton, Ohio. You know what that means, Matt? The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to walk out of one tunnel. The Dallas Cowboys are going to walk out of another tunnel. And they're going to play some football.
They're going to make it happen.
In Canton, Ohio tonight. There is no question
after
about
they got
that.
On a plane yesterday.
After they got on a plane yesterday. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Remember, on Thursdays now, we hand things over to the Frangie Show at 2 o'clock. We're glad you're with us. It's XL Primetime here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This training camp update on 1010XL is brought to you by Coastal Equipment and Roland Reich Plumbing.
After today, I'm put DJ right in the top two, top three. You know, as DJ, LaViska's been really kind of the most consistent. LaViska and Marvin have been the two most consistent. But DJ, after today, he elevated himself.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
All right, with Leon Searcy and Matt Hayes, the Hacker Ryan Green with you. 2021 Baker Sports High School Football Media Day. That was Urban Meyer yesterday, his one-on-one interview with Hayes Carline on the Frangie Show here on 1010XL. Leon Searcy, we've been talking the entire offseason how DJ Chark's clearly the number one receiver, clearly number one on the depth chart, and poised to have a big year. Well, maybe somebody didn't tell the head coach Urban Meyer that, because yesterday he said DJ Chark had elevated himself into the top two or three. I mean, what is that?
He said that.
Yeah, he said that twice, which means that he must have been four or five before he got to the top two or three, which means he was behind Colin Johnson and Philip Dorsett and all those other kind of people.
And who knows who else?
Who else? That's what he's doing. It's called mind games is what it is.
And psychological
warfare. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love the fact that he's calling them out. If he's not playing amongst the best, then he doesn't get called as one of the best. He says Chenault's playing well. He said Marvin Jones played well. He said, well, today, you know what? He elevated himself.
After today, twice he said that, right?
Yes. He elevated himself in between the top two or three in practice, which means that
– he was not happy with him.
He wasn't.
He has not – I can tell you he has not been happy with this guy. If he's saying that twice, he has not been happy with the way DJ Chark has been playing, has been practicing. It might just be that he's not practicing. He's not going all. He's not doing the, quote, plus two. It might be something as simple as that. But whatever it is, he's not happy about it because he says it twice.
You know, what's interesting is
– twice in an interview, Hack, who – and Hayes had to basically peel stuff out of Urban in that two-minute interview.
Well, the one thing, Leon, to me, though, is that you go out to practice and almost across the board, every day that I've been out there, and I've been out there, I think, five of them, DJ Chark and Urban Meyer are at practice together before it really starts, working on drills, working on things like that. So – again, I don't want to read too much into a quote, but I think you guys are right. It was a telling quote. I was under the opinion that DJ and Urban working together meant that things were going well and that what we thought was true, and that DJ was clearly the number one option on this team.
No.
Or the exact opposite.
You know, he might have been getting a chewing in the meeting rooms. He's probably not accustomed to it. He probably damn well ain't accustomed to. And then he gets on the field early where Urban says, hey, look, what am I not doing right? You know, can you do this and that?
Because Urban's an old wide receiver coach, by the way. That's how he started.
And understand this too, Hack. All right? NFL teams play mind games with you when you're in your last year of your contract. Because you have to justify them paying you that money. It happened to me in Pittsburgh. It happened to me in Jacksonville. They play mind games with you. They tell you. They let you know there's slippage in practice, Leon. You don't go as tough, Leon. This and that, Leon. That, you know, because they're trying to bring down what because
You're a value.
Yeah, you're a value. Yeah. Okay, so don't leave that out of the equation too, because Chark's in the last year of his contract. He wants to get paid, and Urban is saying, well, you need to justify getting paid because you're not getting it done in practice.
I don't disagree with that, but just hearing that, I think it's this dude should be our one, and he's not performing like our one.
That too, yeah.
I think it's pretty much that more than anything, but, man, it's I think it's refreshing that you've got Herb continuing to call out guys that are, quote-unquote, the elite of the team. To me, I look at this bunch, and I don't know that anybody's elite. Even we don't know Trevor's elite. We've got to see him go play.
Well,
it's a 1-15 team. I'm not sure anybody's elite.
Let's think about what he's done in the last, couple of months. I mean, DJ Chark is a big man that played small. That was his quote. Miles Jack showed up the offseason overweight. That was his quote. Now, the Miles Jack one appears to be remedied because he hasn't said a word about Miles Jack, and Jack looks great out of practice. He put C.J. Henderson on an exercise bike 20 feet
in the middle of practice,
away
right.
from where the rest of the team is. And, I've never seen that in the years that I've been covering the Jaguars. That bike is either under the tent or it's way on the other side of the field.
Well, it was the day before.
Right. It is not right up where the team is stretching. So, to me, that was really, really interesting. And then he goes on with Carline yesterday on the Franzi show and says that about DJ Chark. Now, let's flip it to Chenault for a second.
And the winners versus losers, big deal.
Let's flip it to Chenault for a second. We've spent so much time, Leon, talking about Chark and Marvin Jones even. What about Chenault? Because I got to tell you, every time I watch him out there, guy looks good, man. The question on him is if he can stay healthy. But if he does, I think he's poised to have a huge year.
Well, you know, right now, Herb's mind, he's your number one. I mean, Herb has been raving about him practice after practice, which means the kid has been outstanding in practice and his effort and his catches and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and his release and getting off jams and coverage and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, the only thing about this kid, because he's such a physical presence on the field, he's got to learn to go down or go out of bounds. I mean, yeah, try to get the extra 2 or 3 yards, but after that, take care of your body. You know, but he's not built that way. The kid played like this in Colorado.
He is a physical presence at
the wide receiver position. But at this league, if you stay up and you let corners and safeties pound on you, it'll take its toll on your body.
I think he's got to learn the right time and moment to be the guy delivering punishment. And he's come from a situation, and you saw it last year, especially in college, where he was the guy delivering punishment.
Mm-hmm.
They'd line him up at tailback. When it was third and short, he'd get the ball at tailback. So he's always been that type of player, even as a receiver. I think he was that player last year. You saw him. He's not afraid of contact. But to your point, Leon, he's got to realize where's the best value in contact. Where's the best value in me trying to deliver the blow instead of getting a blow? Because if you're trying to deliver a blow, at the end of the day, it's coming at you too. So you're mm-hmm. going to get hit. And mm-hmm. he's got to figure out what's the – you got to pick and choose.
The thing with Chenault and Etienne, I want to see those guys on the field a lot together because they're both very elusive. They're going to make guys miss in the open field. They're blazing fast. I just think, Matt, you have an awful lot of potential with Travis Etienne on the field, with Laviska Chenault, because those guys, to me, can do a lot of the same things.
Yeah. The thing is, at what point – so if Visca really has become the one right now in camp – at what point do you move him outside then? Because he can run. He can flat out run, man.
I don't think he is the one. I think that's Urban sending a message to DJ in that interview maybe and wherever else he can publicly. You got to think that DJ Chark and Marvin Jones are still your one and your two and Chenault's a slot, do you not?
Herb is very big on meritocracy. If you are performing better than the other guy, you are the guy. And he's always been that way. So, I mean, to what you're saying, you would think that's how it is. But, man, I'm telling you, if Visca's out there outperforming everyone, he's going to be the one. He will be. They're not going to put him in a situation where we'll just stick him in the slot. We'll get him 3 or 4 balls a game. No, they're going to go at him.
Let me ask you this, Leon. 100 catches. Those three guys have 100 catches. Chenault, Chark, Jones all equal 100 catches. We'll say 100 is a nice even number to divide into. How are they distributed? How many of those 100 do Chark catch, in your opinion, this year? How many of those 100 are Chenault going to catch? How many of those 100 do Marvin Jones catch?
Well, you know, I would like to see Chark get, because he's your downfield threat. Yeah, that means that we're going long, deep ball, 40 and over, 30 and over. So I would love to see more of those kind of big plays, chunk plays. So I would give Chuck 40 of those. I would give Chenault 30. And I would give the rest to Marvin Jones.
Yeah, I think it's very similar to that. I think you're looking at a 40, maybe 35, 25 type situation. I think those three guys at the end of the year, Matt, Chenault, Jones, and Chark, you're going to tell who the number one was, I guess, by catches and yards. But I think they're going to be very, very similar.
The interesting thing is, though, they're different players, all three of them. They're just the way they perform, the way their strengths and weaknesses are different. All three of them are. So it's going to be very interesting to see who becomes the one. You're going to find out who the one. I mean, you might see who the one is. They might come out in the depth chart. You can clearly see who the one is by the way they set up. But it might take a month, maybe 3-4 games. Then you'll find out who the one is. Mm-hmm. Because that guy will separate. I don't care where he's playing, he will separate.
Are you surprised? And again, who knows if he's going to make the 53? But there is no question that a week into camp, and I'm looking forward to the scrimmage and the games to see how he does, there's buzz about Treadwell. Now, he was on the street. Nobody had signed Laquon Treadwell. He caught 6 passes last year in Atlanta. He was considered a bust in Minnesota. He comes here for a mini camp tryout, does enough to get signed, and a week into camp, anybody out there that's watching will tell you Treadwell is doing some things. Does that surprise you at all?
It doesn't surprise me because I think he's very good at what he does. The only issue is his speed. I mean, if you look at who he is and what type of player he is, he's a very physical guy. He's a guy that can go get a ball. He's a guy that can high point a ball. But you got to be able to run. In the league, you got to be able to run. And I think that's been his problem. And it's been his problem ever since his ankle exploded when he was playing Auburn in that game his last year, which was brutal. I felt so bad for him. He was in college. I'm telling you right now, Laquon Treadwell in college is one of the top 5-7 receivers in the last 20
might as well
years.
Have
he
been AJ Brown, DK Metcalf.
He was
he
phenomenal.
That impact.
He was much better than him in college.
How big is Treadwell?
6'1", 210.
He's thick. 215. Yeah, he's very
thick.
Man.
Okay, all right.
And look, we were watching Dorsett as well. You're looking at who are the guys going to step up after Chenault, after Chark, after Jones. I mentioned Treadwell. I know your guy from Miami, your fellow Hurricane alum, Philip Dorsett, has caught your eye. They invested in Dorsett. They brought him in here in free agency, so you think he would have the upper hand. And he's done some nice things, had a couple of drops. But I'm just curious, a year away from football, I don't believe he played at all last year.
No, he was hurt.
Due to a foot injury. How is Dorsett going to look once the preseason begins here in 10 days?
For one, he's got to stay healthy. For two, well, he's got to be able to utilize his speed. He's got to have splash plays in order to grab the attention of the Jaguars. And I didn't realize he was so tiny.
Yeah, 5'10". Yeah.
Treadwell's 6'2", by the way. 6'2",
oh, he's 6'2",
6'2",
okay.
215.
Okay,
he's big, 215. He's good size, man.
Okay. I was thinking, I don't know, maybe moving to that tight end room.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, they got man hurts in there, right?
He better put on another 30.
Although, look, again, have the tight ends blown your socks off with what they've done in training camp? No.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you didn't have names on the back of their jerseys – and you had no idea, who's playing what. Would I think it's noticeable how bad the Jaguars' tight ends are? No, it's not noticeable. I see O'Shaughnessy. O'Shaughnessy made one of the great catches the first week of camp. Unfortunately, he got hurt when he came down. And he hadn't played since. Although he got back out there, I believe, yesterday. But I think Tyler Davis has done some nice things. Look, say what you will, Tebow has made a couple of nice catches. I think Ellefson's done some stuff. They don't have marquee names, obviously. Let's not sugarcoat it. There are not marquee names at the tight end position other than Tebow, who's never played tight end. But for the first week of camp, have I thought, man, the tight ends here are really terrible? No, I haven't thought that. I haven't noticed them being bad. I don't know if I have the coaching eye for that, but maybe people are blowing that up a little bigger than it really is.
Well, I haven't seen outside. I mean, since we've had on pads, I haven't seen anyone really make any plays.
No, but
right. That's as like you say. You haven't noticed anything bad. You also haven't noticed anything unique.
Right, right. And, again, I don't know if I noticed anything last year in the tight end room. Did Tyler Eifert blow my socks off at training camp last year?
No, because he's just a guy.
Yeah, but he had like 40 catches here.
He's just a guy, though. Yeah. He wasn't doing anything special, nothing unique. He had 40 catches on a 115 team. He wasn't doing anything.
No, I'm just saying, but he was a former Pro Bowler. I guess my point is the tight end is obviously a huge portion of what Urban does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not disputing that. But there is a reason they have not traded for anybody. We keep saying that. Everybody talks about Ertz and Njoku, and who are they going to trade for? and the months go by and the weeks go by and the days go by, they're not bringing anybody in. Are they happier with what they have in that room than people on the outside?
Maybe they're waiting for cuts, final cuts.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. At this point, you'd think, I mean, it's August 5th, your first preseason game. How about that? They're going to be playing football behind us 10 days from now. Mm. The Cleveland Browns and Jaguars in this stadium next Saturday the 14th playing a preseason football game. That is Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. Matt Hayes is a national college football writer, and we are glad you are with us here on XL Primetime. It is the Baker Sports 2021 High School Football Media Day. A couple of more head coaches you will hear from. We're with you till 2 o'clock, Jacksonville. Then we'll turn things over to the Franzi Show. We're glad you're with us. It's 1010 XL, and it's 92.5 FM.
We saved you a seat. It's Lunch with Leon on 1010 XL.
Brought to you by Wingstop.
Baker Sports High School Media Day. Glad to be out here. High school football right around the corner. The preseason kickoff classics 2 weeks from tomorrow night. Week one of the regular season 3 weeks from tomorrow night, August the 27th. We'll be back 15th year of the Friday Night Lights postgame show. Very excited about that once again. More details on that in the next couple of weeks, but certainly glad to be back with you for year number 15 of the Friday Night Lights postgame show. A guy we've had on almost every year of that Friday Night Lights postgame show is sitting across from us here at Media Day, and that's Brian Braddock, formerly of Mandarin, now at St. Augustine for many, many years. What is this for you at St. Augustine?
This will be year six.
Year six. Wow, 6 years already at St. Augustine. It was very successful at Mandarin prior to your time at St. Augustine. Coach, welcome in, and I'm sure you're fired up for another football season down there in St. John's County.
We are. We are. Had a practice four this morning. We've been fortunate enough to be able to go in the mornings and avoid a lot of the precipitation, and, you know, looking forward to Saturday's scrimmage.
You know, talk about not only the scrimmage on Saturday, but how the team is looking, because at St. Augustine, you know, you guys have expectations out there, no question. There's a tradition of winning out there, and you guys have done that a lot. How's the team shaping up this season?
Good. It's a little unique for us. We're generally not big size-wise, just historically. It's just not what our community is, especially not in comparison to northern St. John's County. But we usually have a lot of kids that can run, a lot of kids that will play very hard, that are strong. So this year, though, our seniority and our maturity and probably our best players are up front on both sides of the ball. We've got some skilled kids that are high-quality players, but kind of our identity will be shaped by the kids that play on our offensive and defensive lines. So a little bit of a unique team for us, replacing the 6A Offensive Player of the Year in Sammy Edwards, replacing a two-way kid who went to USF and Daquan Stanley and a couple other backs that you know are no longer with us. So skill-wise, a lot of opportunities for young kids to step up.
You know, Coach, I played a lot of football, and I always wanted to ask a coach, what is there any kind of drill or there's any kind of assessment where you can determine who are the leaders on your team? Is there something that you do that you, in your mind, that you put the players through and you can kind of decipher who are the leaders on the team based upon how or whatever they go through?
Yeah, you know, I think, and I don't mean to give an evasive answer. I think it's kind of everything in general and not one thing in specific. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like when things are hard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for this morning, for instance, second day in uppers, it's hot, it's humid, it's wet, it's nasty. In the past, we kind of hit a lull in the middle of practice. In the past, I'm kind of getting older now. I would have yelled and screamed and stomped and berated kids to get them to practice hard. And I told them today, and I told them this yesterday, I said, guys, I'm not going to yell and scream. I said, I'm going to wait for the older kids on the team to decide we're going to practice the right way so that I'm not sitting here having this negotiation with you in October. Mm-hmm. And the kids that really want to win, the kids who get it, they're the ones that will step up and lead. But in everything, I mean, for us, it's a big deal for a kid to do the right thing in the hallway, for a kid to do the right thing. We got kids right now at Webster Elementary School on the west side of St. Augustine handing out backpacks. And led by our seniors that aren't here at Media Day. So we want kids that are going to set the example of doing things the right way and lead everywhere. And it's really in those little things that it shows up the most and when things are hard.
Mm-hmm. Brian, do you see high school ball? I was asking other coaches this. The passing game, the vertical passing game, is a big deal now in college and the NFL. Is it getting there in high school ball? Are you guys there yet, or does it depend on personnel?
You know, we've kind of prided ourselves on having a true throw game, meaning we're not a big RPO team. We're not a big we throw the horizontal stuff. But our quarterback's progression read and cut the ball loose and throw digs and curls and posts and comebacks and things like that. So I think there's certainly a place for it. It's one of those things. Coach Rogers at Bowles, I went to practice with me and Coach Wiles went to practice they were getting ready to play a state championship game. We got beat the week before. And he said something to me I'll never forget. He said, we run the ball 75% of the time. He said, but if we're going to throw it 25% of the time any good, we better practice it 75% of the time. And I was like, what are you talking? And I get what he means now, though. We spend way more time throwing the ball in practice than we do anything else because there's a higher degree of difficulty. But, yes, there's a place for it. Like I said, we take pride. Our last two senior quarterbacks were the state offensive player of the year. And one of them right now is probably the best player in the country in Division II. And the one that just graduated, and Austin Reed and Sammy Edwards, is at Valdosta State, and he's going to be making waves there in short order. And I think a lot of that's because we want our quarterbacks to throw the ball down the field. And we got a kid right now who is a converted. He played quarterback, and then last year he had a great year as a receiver. Now he's playing quarterback, and we're going to expect the same of him. Now we're going to play to his strengths, but then we have some young kids behind him that are going to be the same way. So, yes, absolutely. Now more than ever, though, like the Bartrams, the teams that are so hard to stop, they spread the field, and they use all 53 yards wide, and they can literally just gash you up the middle with a very sound inside running game, but they get the ball all over the place and play very fast. And you see that on college on Saturdays. It's starting to trickle in the NFL, but the good high school teams do it very well.
A couple more for Brian Braddock of St. Augustine here with us on XL Primetime. Coach, iron sharpens iron. And when you're in St. John's County, whether it's you guys at St. Aug, whether it's what Sutherland's doing at Bartram Trail, you look at the job McIntyre is doing at Creekside. I mean, Pontevedra has been good for many years. Menendez has really come on strong as of late. Nice is always in the mix. Just talk about St. John's County as a whole, how competitive it is. And I imagine that really makes you guys, like I said, iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir. Well, St. John's County as a whole, not just football, wins an obnoxious amount of state championships and playoff runs in every sport, boys, girls, all sports. So it's no different in football that there's a high expectation to do well. I think it's a lot of great people, a lot of great parents, a lot of great kids who expect to achieve at a high level. And we love getting to go out and take the field against those other high-quality county opponents. And every game in St. John's County is going to be tough. We know that. You know, last year you take a one-win Nice in an undefeated Bartram, and that game was very competitive for an entire half. You would not have known the records. So that's how it is in St. John's County.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate the time. Best of luck. And we'll be talking to you a lot on the post-game show this year.
Thank you. Always great talking to you guys. Appreciate you.
Brian Braddock of St. Augustine here with us at the Baker Sports High School Media Day. Big Sirs, before you take off, just your thoughts on what you saw out here today. And like I said, one of the highlights for me every year at this event is the look on the kids' faces, getting interviewed, getting some exposure. It's really what this day is all about.
Yeah, I mean, it's great exposure for the kids. But, you know, more so than anything like that, like we talked about earlier, you never forget your high school coach. Your high school coach is probably your second daddy, or sometimes your first daddy, depending on what your home life is. You know, he takes you through the process, your 10th, 11th grade year. He watches you grow from a boy to a man, and he's always there for you, man. I've had Hall of Fame coaches throughout my whole career, but it started with Bill Gerke at Orlando Evans High School. He took me underneath his wing, and I wouldn't be where I am right now today if it wasn't for him.
Well, Leon, we'll do it again tomorrow at high noon on a Friday.
You got it.
That is Leon Searcy. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. He is Matt Hayes. One more segment to go again on Thursdays now. We hand things off to the Frangie Show an hour early, 2 o'clock this afternoon. Frank Frangie, Hayes Carline, and Lauren Brooks will take over. They'll take you up till 4 o'clock, and then Jaguar programming here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, including the Urban Meyer Show, all to come here on both the AM and the FM. More high school head coaches still to come. Before we get there, though, JJ, we have not one, but two pair of rugby tickets to give away today to the Jacksonville Axemen this upcoming weekend.
Absolutely. Two pairs of tickets to the Jacksonville Icemen this Saturday versus the Atlanta Rhinos. Love that name, but I hope they lose this weekend to our Jacksonville Axemen. This game, August 7th at 6 p.m. at UNF, and I'll give away two pairs right now to callers 3 and 4 at 641-1010.
This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
One segment to go here on XL Primetime. Turn things over to the Franzi Show coming up in just a little bit with Matt Hayes, the Hacker Ryan Green, with you. I've been covering high school football, Matt, for 15 years. Like we said, it'll be the 15th year of the Friday Night Lights postgame show here on both 1010 AM and 92.5 FM. And I've never talked to a coach that's literally starting from the ground up. But that's what we're talking about right now. Mike Kolakowski is the brand-new head coach
of Tocoya Creek High School. The reason he's the brand new head coach is because the school hasn't even opened yet. They're open for business on August, what, 16th?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Coach, first off, welcome in. Pleasure to meet you.
I appreciate
it. And that's a fascinating concept that the locker room, the field, the classrooms, the lockers themselves, nothing in that school has ever been used, and you guys are about to kick off the football program in a span of about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been crazy, to be honest with you. it's been crazy. You know, because we haven't been in the school, and we were at a Pacetti Middle School, so we've kind of home based there, and we've been practicing there, and kind of had our football gear there, and then today we started moving the stuff over to the high school.
Wow.
So it's been great. It's been challenging, and the best thing about it is our kids have really done well. They've just adjusted, and they come out and they do a great job.
Now, where are you located? For people that are listening, that they're familiar with all the high schools here in town, you're brand new. Where are you guys located?
We're down 95. You get off it. Is it International?
International. Yep.
Yeah, International Boulevard. Yep. Boulevard right there. As soon as you come into the top in the Bucky's, where everybody knows Bucky's is. Okay.
Yeah.
So wherever Bucky's is, come to the light. You're going to make a right. You go down 2 miles, and we're right on the right there. It's right on that
that's
road.
That's crazy. So you've been in college football for nearly 4 decades, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the biggest transition you think for you personally, coaching high schools as opposed to coaching collegiate kids?
I think it's the teaching and how you approach things, and sometimes, and these guys will catch me doing it. I assume, okay, that they know,
right.
Okay, but they don't, okay. You know, and you assume that in college, but it's not as I guess apparent. But you whatever you say, you have to be very slow in your teaching. So that's been my biggest adjustment, is being a better teacher and describing things, because I just assume some things.
Well, Coach, and we were talking off air to you again, Mike Kulikowski here, the brand new head coach. Is it
Tocoya Creek.
Tocoya,
yes, sir.
Creek, the brand new high school out there in St. Johns County. And we're talking, very few people, coaches, players in the high school realm, can literally start a foundation. You have that opportunity. And as we're talking, I see your players behind you, smiles on their faces, nodding. They're fired up that they get the opportunity. They're the first people ever to wear that jersey. They'll be the first people ever to play on that field. The first touchdown that is scored will obviously be the first touchdown in school history. That's awesome. That's a cool story.
No, it is. And the group I got here with us today, I got four of them, but they're only juniors. There's no seniors.
So
there's no seniors. So we're playing with, you know, freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. So these guys are going to get they're my seniors. Okay? I believe in, you know, in the senior leadership, but they're my junior class. And the four that are with us have been bought in, and they come and work every day, and it's just awesome. And it's always the first. You know, I can't wait to get into high school. I haven't been in there yet. I haven't been in
there. It's all new for you,
That's
too.
Exactly. Right. Mr. Holland and Mr. Willis, they kind of keep me down in Pacetti Bay down there.
So you were talking about your schedule. You guys are going to be playing an independent schedule.
Yes.
When will you move into district play? Is it year
next,
two? Or?
Year two, I think.
Okay.
When we get the senior class in, okay, and there's another class, I think that's the plan.
How did you figure out that schedule? How difficult was that?
Jeff Holland did that. Jeff is a well-known AD down. He'd been at St. Augustine High School for many years. He worked with Joey Wiles, and he's well-known throughout the state. And he put this together. I wouldn't know what to begin, and he just felt like it. And it's smart. It's a smart schedule. He's not, you know, we're not going to get overwhelmed. You know, a couple coaches that we have on our staff, you know, have been around. You know, Kyle Skipper's been down in Menendez, and he says, you know, the people we're playing, I can't remember everybody, I'm just new.
Yeah.
Okay, we feel like, you know, we're going to be okay. I mean, it's just as far as we can match up.
Good. Student enrollment, you believe, about 1,300.
1,300.
So it's a decent-sized public school in St. Johns County. I think that would put you in the 4A or 5A realm easy.
I think that's where they're shooting for.
And you know, the other coaches in St. Johns County, because we've been talking all day, whether it's Bartram, St. Augustine, Pontevedra, Creekside, there are some really accomplished programs there. Have you reached out to those coaches at all to get a lay of the land or anything like that?
I tell you what, the person that probably helped me the most is that retired guy, Joey Wiles, down
Joey
here.
Wiles.
Okay,
oh,
so
yeah.
Joey and I.
Legend in our area.
Oh, yeah. And he's a legend in his own mind, too. On some of that stuff. But Joey has been very helpful. Okay, him and I have known each other for a bunch of years,
right?
Over 30 years. Because when he was down in Melbourne, I recruited there.
He did a great job there too.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he's kind of helped me on out, and he kind of been my been my been been my sounding board. Right. So I talked to Joey. I'm just getting to meet some of these guys. You know, Brian, I just met Brian right here. Right. So I don't know, you know, everybody yet. So.
Well, I'll tell you this. We do a post-game show on 1010XL, the Friday Night Lights. I have your cell phone number now. Hey. I'm hoping that every week we're calling you to talk about the Toros and a victory on Friday night.
That's exactly right. Get my guys right there. That's exactly right.
Coach, I think that's a great story. We'll certainly be watching. Very rarely do you get to, like I said, be the first for everything. Mike Kolakowski of Tequoia Creek, congratulations on everything going on, and best of luck here in 2021.
Hey, guys, I appreciate you putting me on. I really do. I think that's awesome, and anything that we can do will be very helpful for y'all. Okay?
Thank you, Coach.
Great.
Thanks, Mike.
I
really appreciate that.
Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
And, Matt, that's cool, man. I really like the fact that they get to branch out there. And I was surprised when he told me 1,300, that's a decent student population.
Yeah, and that place is growing like crazy. That'll be 2,000 in no time.
Yeah,
no time.
No question about it. We got one more coaching interview we want you to hear before we send things off to the Franzi Show. Mike Montemayor, what a job he did last year at Atlantic Coast High School. The first playoff victories in Atlantic Coast High School history were last season. Mike Montemayor is their head coach, a very young head coach, but he is establishing himself very early in his coaching career, and he caught up with us earlier today here at the Baker Sports High School Media Day. Atlantic Coast here at High School Media Day. That means Mike Montemayor. And I got to tell you, there is not a better head of hair in this building right now than head coach Mike Montemayor. Coach, how we doing?
I'm good, Hack. How are you?
Coach, we are wonderful. What has this offseason been like? A very successful run for you guys last year in the playoffs, including a couple of playoff wins, as a matter of fact. I would have to imagine the momentum is pretty good right now.
Yeah, definitely. So we took that momentum from the playoff run, just like you mentioned, and we used it for the offseason with offseason workouts in January, going into the spring, had a great productive spring, going into the summer, had a great productive summer, and then now we're in the full swing of things with the fall season. So we're just trying to keep on building up, making small steps, small strides in the right direction.
I'm asking coaches, from where we were 12 months ago to where we are now, maybe we've had a little bump in the road with COVID right now, but I would still think it's night and day from a high school coaching perspective, the difference in the last 12 months.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at least we have an idea of where we're going in, what direction we're going in, what guidelines to follow, what the protocol is. There's still some gray area, give or take, but at least we have an idea. You know, last year we were literally playing it week to week, month to month. You know, are we going to start summer workouts in June? You know, what can we do in July? What can we do in August? So at least we know, you know, we're moving forward with everything else.
You know, going back to last season again for one second, I got to thinking, Atlantic Coast, relatively young program, hasn't been around all that long, to win your first couple of playoff games last year, I mean, what does that do from a standpoint of attracting more people to the program, attracting more sponsors, alumni getting involved? I mean, that's not just a win on the scoreboard last December and November. That's got to be a win in a lot of facets for the program overall.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, during our playoff run, we had a lot of guys come back, and that's what you want as a football coach and as a program. You want your alumni to come back. You want them to be proud of where they came from as a high school student athlete. And again, you know, it's all about the kids and building up that name and building up that brand with the other great programs that we have in this city, because there's so many. You know, whether they're old, young, new, you know, everybody has a great program, respectable program in the city. So it's definitely good for us in the right direction that, you know, we had that run. You know, everybody had a shot last year. You know, if we didn't deserve to be there, we would have been knocked out round one, whatever the case was. But we made the most of it. And again, we're trying to build off that momentum last year into this season.
Mike Montemayor of Atlantic Coast replacing some good football players. Ridge Jacobs, a quarterback. Patrick Bryant, good grief. He was great for you guys for years there at the wide receiver position. How tough has it been replacing them? But who are some of the new faces that you're counting on to do that?
Respectively, I think from the outside perspective, it can look tough to replace those guys, but we have a lot of experience. It may be young experience, but a lot of guys who've been in our system, been through the program, and it's time for their time to shine, for them to get that spotlight, and they're ready for it. So, you know, we don't have that sole individual. We have a group of guys, and everything is going to be done by committee. So that's what's great about it. We're not relying, or, you know, kids aren't relying on one sole person. It's definitely going to take a unit to make that happen.
What about the team as a whole here in 2021? We're 2 weeks away from the Classic, 3 weeks away from opening night. What can people expect out of the Stingrays this year?
I mean, again, you know, going into the, like I mentioned, with the spring and the summer, making those strides, you know, the kids had a great summer with the Jags 7-on-7 tourney. I tell them all the time, you know, championships and aren't won in the off season, but it's good stepping stones in the right direction. You know, so it's good that they're getting that attention, that recognition, because they deserve it. They work hard for it. But, you know, we show up every day. We work. We keep our head down. We lay low. We just do what we do. We don't worry about the outside noise, and we show up and we play.
What about you personally as we wrap up? One of the youngest head coaches in the area, already a couple of playoff wins under your belt. Did you take time this offseason to think, wow, you know, I'm pretty young into this thing. I already got a couple of playoff wins. You're making a name for yourself pretty early on here.
So, I mean, like when the season ended in November after Thanksgiving, you know, it took a couple of weeks to decompress. You know, I had had my first son in December on Christmas Eve, so that allowed me to take my mind off of things. But pretty much as soon as January started, like any coach, they know it's, you know, off-season mode, and we're back to it. So it made me even hungrier, you know, to keep that momentum going again, set the tone for the kids and the program moving to this season.
Coach, I have no doubt we'll be talking to you under the Friday Night Lights this year on the postgame show. Best of luck. We'll be watching.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you for what you guys do for high school sports.
Yeah, Mike Montemayor of Atlantic Coast. Best hairdo here, Matt Hayes. He was sporting the mullet earlier today. Anybody that wears a mullet has my respect.
Baldwin coach.
Yeah.
Had the man bun going.
It's fantastic. But that's a school again. You know, Atlantic Coast has been around, what, about a decade now? Maybe a little longer than a decade. But the bottom line is they got their first couple of playoff wins last year. It's something to really build on for that program moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, the moment you get your first win, you know, those things can start to build at that point. When you start believing, you start to get young kids, 16, 17-year-old kids, believing in what they're doing. Yeah, absolutely, man.
And they are replacing some good players. Patrick Bryant was a guy that was just all world for the last 4 years. He's now in the Big Ten up there, I believe, at the University of Illinois. But when you replace a guy like that, it's hard, obviously. Now, you think you can, and Atlantic Coast isn't the only school. There's a lot of schools replacing really good talent. But a guy like Pat Bryant, you just don't find those every year. And it'll be interesting to see if Atlantic Coast has a collection of wideouts that can ease the burden of not having Bryant any longer.
I want to talk about your laptop.
Yeah, I know you do. I don't understand why.
We got to talk about your laptop.
You're staring at it. I've been trying to avoid this topic, and I don't understand the issue here. So please go.
All I know is back here, like, I heard him say, "I can't make it big. It's not getting big."
I can't make it any bigger.
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to expand something here, and I can't make it any bigger. And
the amount of dirt and muck.
It's not dirt.
Food on your machine is just amazing to me. It's amazing to me.
It's really,
I gave you the air horn that I gave you to clean it off, right? What'd you do with that?
The air horn? Oh, that thing? I think it's at my office back at World Headquarters.
Dude, I'll have to get it. It's like sandpaper. It's so much
it's
on there.
It's not sandpaper. You're totally blowing this out of proportion, and quite frankly, I don't appreciate your tone. We got a Kranzi show on deck here on 1010XL.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the rubber on the road with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
Lauren Brooks standing by, the Franzi Show coming up next. Lauren, how are we doing?
I am excellent, thanks, Hacker, and I guarantee my laptop is cleaner than yours.
I'm certain that
Lauren,
it is.
I'm pretty sure
that my life on
the
that.
Free world's laptop is cleaner than Hacker's laptop.
Yeah, okay. You've pointed out a flaw in my life. And I'm going
no,
to work
it's not a
on
flaw.
It.
I'm trying to help you, man. That's probably why your machine. What'd you say earlier? What did he say? Oh, yeah. He said, I can't make it bigger.
The text is not getting bigger. I'm trying to expand it, and it's not happening.
Your touchpad, it's a squeeze. And
all right. Thank you. Lauren, what do you got coming up on the Franzi Show this afternoon?
I recommend the mouse, since you and I are both mouse people, Hack.
Yes, indeed.
Well, first of all, I just want to, you know, give a hat tip to both you and the drill for doing such an excellent job at Baker Sports Media Days for high school sports, especially football today. It's been fantastic, and I really enjoyed your conversation with Christian Ellis earlier.
Oh, wasn't that unbelievable? For people
I had
that
tears in
that,
my eyes.
Oh, my goodness. So Christian Ellis, and truthfully, you know, truth be told, I'm good friends with his dad. His dad and I, right. Andre, do the 1010XL Preps podcast, and Christian was a big part of Trinity's state championship win last year. Played on both sides of the football, as a matter of fact. But he transferred to Ed White about a week ago. And when you go from Trinity Christian to Ed White, you'd think, okay, that's kind of odd. You don't really see that a lot. We asked Christian live on the radio why he goes to Ed White. Well, his mother is an Ed White alum. She's battling cancer right now, and he wanted to see his mother to see him in an Ed White uniform, which is her alma mater. My goodness, that was – one of the most you say you had tears. That was hard for me not to. I mean, we were live on the radio, but that really caught me off guard, and kudos to that young man. What an incredible, incredible story.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think everyone on the First Coast now is praying for her to be able to defeat that awful awful thing that is cancer. But yeah, so you guys have done a great job, certainly have listened to it all day long, and we will be talking Jaguars, talking college football, and also one of us, that would be one Frank Frangie, is a true American, and he led the USA
yes.
men's basketball team to victory early this morning, so we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, Frank must be a night owl, because I saw him texting at like
he was over at my apartment. We were watching
holy
this together.
Cow. Good stuff. I was fast asleep, but I'm happy to see the U.S. did get the victory over Australia. Lauren, well, we'll be listening.
Thanks so much, Hack. And by the way, I was fast asleep as well, because I was not about to get up and watch the U.S. Women's National Team this morning fight for bronze.
Oh, it's a big bronze medal victory.
They got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
4-3 seems like an exciting match.
I'm sure it was. And I literally had just complained about Megan Rapinoe and her corner kicks. I complained about Carly Lloyd and her lack of offensive production. And then they both scored two goals.
Love
so
it.
What do I know?
Well, Lauren, we'll be listening.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. All right, Matt, final thoughts from you other than the thoughts on my laptop.
A lot of fun.
About Baker Sports High School Media Day. And in all seriousness, what a great day. We talked to a lot of coaches, a lot of players, and I really do hope that you get out there, support high school football, either your local high school, your alma mater. It is a great, great time with some great storylines coming into this year.
Yeah, it's what I said earlier when we were starting the show. It's such a great family night out when you go to one of those games. And if you're fortunate enough to get to a game where it's packed, and it's an important district game where it's rivals. It's a really fun night. It's a cheap night, and you get to relive a little bit of your youth. And there's energy in the crowd, and there's energy in the place, and it's a lot of fun. It's great for these kids. I love to see it.
1010XL.com Preps Podcast back on the horizon in a couple of weeks, and of course the Friday Night Lights postgame, year 15 for us under the Friday Night Lights. That'll be coming to you in a couple of weeks as well. Remember the kickoff classics, the preseason, August 20th. Week one of the Florida high school football season, 3 weeks from tomorrow, Friday night, August the 27th. Thank you to Baker Sports. Thank you to Tom Fridley. Thank you to everybody out here that made it possible today here at Baker Sports Media Day. For Matt Hayes, for Leon Searcy, and for Joe Coward, I'm the hacker Ryan Green. Don't go anywhere. Frangie, Carline, Brooks, The Frangie Show, coming up next right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.